welcome to the Leonard Peikoff Show. A well-known teacher and author, Dr. Leonard Peikoff is Ayn Rand's chosen heir and the leading authority on her philosophy of objectivism, the philosophy she presented in her famous novels The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And now, here's Leonard Peikoff.
Today, a unique feature of this show, another tie-in contest. Can you see connections that other people miss? Tie-ins, relationships, the same philosophic principle running through extremely different examples. That's one of the things we learn in philosophy. It goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks who looked for what they call the one in the many, the one common denominator uniting all the many divergent things. All things are interconnected by philosophy, and in the tie-in contest, I picked three or four and ask you, what is the deepest philosophical common denominator that links these supposedly or seemingly very different things? Here's the first two things, and there's going to be some things that are very, very different, so don't jump too fast, but don't jump too slow, because the earlier you get the answer, the closer your chance to winning. The progressive income tax and the Unabomber. The progressive income tax and the Unabomber are the first two items in this tie-in contest. Do you have an idea of the deepest thing they have in common? Now remember, there's going to be a very different kinds of examples. Something from an Academy Award ceremony is going to be on, and a piece of advice that most mothers give to their daughters is going to be on. So it's not all obvious headline news, but if you got a stab at it from that, call in and let me know. 1-800-540-KIEV. And right after these messages, I'll be back to start the tie-in contest. It's 2:38. My name is Leonard Peikoff. We are doing a tie-in contest. We're trying to find what the ancient Greeks called the one in the many. What is the deepest philosophic common denominator underlying a whole bunch of daily events that surround us every day? And I've already thrown out two, the progressive income tax and the Unabomber. Now, on the face of it, these are pretty opposite. The income tax people have a official office building in Washington. And they're given a tremendous amount of respect. And the Unabomber, I think, is in a jail cell in Montana. The progressive income tax is lawful. The Unabomber is lawless. Progressive income tax is conventional. All the ordinary politicians are in favor of it. The Unabomber is a radical. It's interesting to note that both of these two are hated by some people, and both of them are admired and fought for by some people. But what is the real common denominator between these two? I have one trepidatious caller who is on line 7, who is ready to jump before I even give my other examples. David, welcome to the Leonard Peikoff Show.
Hi. I think they both have as an example...
Now, you've never read any Ayn Rand fiction, nonfiction, I mean.
No.
Okay,
although
great.
I plan to.
Okay, but not for today. Okay.
Not for today.
Okay,
no.
Go ahead.
They both have as their example, they want to even us out. The progressive income tax, I think Karl Marx wanted that to even people out. That was one of the things he said would break down society. And the Unabomber wants us to go back into, plowing fields like the Amish or something.
So you think it's a form of egalitarianism?
Yes.
In other words, they're both trying to cut the tops down.
Yes, they're trying to make the little guy smaller by cutting the big guy's head off.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, David. I don't think your formulation, as you word it, is going to come out as being on the track.
Oh.
But because there's other examples that are not going to fit that nearly so easily. But you did get one idea in there pertaining to the small and the big. You didn't word it the way that would be needed. But what I would like to suggest is let me develop this further, and I won't call you a nice try or on the track. It's a good start.
Oh, dear.
Call in again if you get a better idea and somebody hasn't beat you to it.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. The progressive income tax. Everybody knows what that is. The more you earn, the higher the rate at which you are taxed. It's a very simple idea. You make $200, you pay no income tax. You make $200,000, you pay a big income tax. You make $2 million, you pay a tremendous, gazillious income tax. The higher, you don't pay just more money, you pay a higher rate. The more you make, the more they take of what you make. And the Unabomber. What is the Unabomber famous for? You don't need me to tell you that. What is the bete noir, the thing that the Unabomber hates? Now, David gave us a suggestion here. Both of these are trying to cut something down. He said, cut down to this level of the small. Cut something down. So you have to figure out what are they against and what are they trying to cut down. We got another caller trying, Mark, on line 7. How are you doing, Mark? Welcome to the Leonard Peikoff Show.
Hello, Doctor.
All right.
My answer isn't real long, but to me it seems...
Now, you never read Ayn Rand's nonfiction?
No.
Good, okay.
But I have read a couple of her novels.
Oh, novels are okay. I allow that. Yeah.
The progressive income tax, I've always kind of thought that's kind of a funny name because it really is... It's kind of like anti-progressive. What it seems to attack is the more that you do, the better you are. It's almost the more you're punished. And
now, let me get that one again. The more you do...
The more you do, the more you accomplish.
The more you accomplish, the more you're punished.
The more you're punished, in effect. In other words, the harder you work and the more you make, the more you're going to have to give up. And it's really anti-progressive. It never has been progressive. And as far as the tax goes, I think they just gave it that title so that it would be palatable to the people that they were trying to convince that it was a good thing.
Okay, now what do you do with the Unabomber?
Well, what the progressive income tax really is, I mean, if you want to take it to, I don't think it's an extreme, but some people do, is that it's an attack on actually the intellect, the technology, and anything that is... truly, I mean, if you in that case, that's truly progressive. And the Unabomber, his whole philosophy seems to be anti-technology, anti-progress. And so the philosophy that spawned the tax in as an economic theory seemed to, the same philosophy seemed to have spawned the Unabomber.
Well, you
in practice.
Think the progressive income tax is against technology? The IRS actually wants people to go back to the plow like the Unabomber does?
Well, boy, now that's...
I mean, because that sounds to me like what the common denominator you're suggesting.
It's what I'm suggesting, but I don't know if I would give them that much credit as to actually thinking it that far through. I think what they intended to do was to tie the hands of the capable, or else...
Well,
least...
they want to tie the hands of the capable, but they still want the capable, right?
Well... Yes,
otherwise, there's going to be nobody to pay the taxes.
Exactly, and that's what the irony is that the more you tie the hands, eventually you're going to end up with nothing. But they never seem to have thought that through. Just like if the Unabomber really got what he wished, and everybody went back to a total anti-technology state, everybody would starve to death, including him. And yet they think that somehow they can have both cases. They can have a total...
Well, you're giving us some terrific food for thought here that they're, in effect, trying to have their cake and eat it, too.
Right.
But I haven't yet, you know, to be fair to you, I haven't given you the other example, so I have to say you're on the verge of being on the track, but I can't take it yet. Let me expand the example after the break, and then call back if you get a better idea.
Okay, well...
But you really have... You've moved us forward here. We've got a lot of callers waiting, but I have to pause for this commercial message, and then we will be back on more on the tie-in contest.
Thank you.
It's 2:46. My name is Leonard Peikoff. We're back to the tie-in contest. Now, you people on the phone, listen to this, and maybe you want to adapt your answer because we're going to a very different third example. I maintain it's all the same principle. It belongs... with the progressive income tax and the Unabomber. But this one, I think, is going to surprise you. Some of you may hang up, so think about this. In the 1970s, a streaker ran through the Academy Awards. It was the night of the Oscars. It was a, you know, typical occasion, replete with celebrities, jeweled ball gowns, coveted prizes, cameras hovering over everyone. This was an occasion, you know, offered to the country as a really big, important, exciting, elegant event. And this guy raced through. And the streaker, in case you don't know what that is somebody who dropped his pants before the cameras and in front of this whole audience. Now, I put this streaker in exactly, philosophically, the category of the progressive income tax and the Unabomber. Now, is anybody still left? Lisa, do we have anybody still left waiting that wants to try? Okay, on line 8, Jonathan.
Well,
are you there?
Yeah.
Does that throw you, that last edition?
I'm a little bewildered.
Yeah, you didn't expect one like that, right?
You know, I did a report on the Oscars, and I remember I made a little video. I put that clip into my video. David Niven was, like, the presenter or something.
Oh, did you? You saw the streaker?
Yeah. I wasn't alive, but I got a video on the Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was alive. I actually watched that Academy Award with Ayn Rand. And I didn't even get the meaning of it entirely. And she gave an extemporaneous lecture to me. It was just the two of us watching on what was so wicked about this streaker. And I didn't even get it. And now I'm doing it as a show. But anyway, what's your answer to our tie-in comment?
Maybe this works for the streaker, I don't know. But I thought with the other two, I actually don't know that much about the Unabomber. But it sounds to me like that the income taxes and the Unabomber both want to stop production of all kinds. They don't want people to be able to, you know, produce or make things or to...
Yeah, but that's too specific. You're tying it to just those two examples. You could say, and other people have already suggested on the show, the income tax penalizes producers. So they're working to stop production. The Unabomber wants to go back to the pre-industrial days, so he's against production. But that's because both of those come out of economics. But now I'm deliberately adding in one that comes from a completely different category. Now, you can't say this streaker wanted to do anything as far as production or economics is concerned. Because what you have to get to, what attitude did this streaker have that was tantamount, that was similar in his field to what the income taxers and the Unabomber have in their field? What's the common denominator? Well, how would you explain this streaker, Jonathan? What do you think motivates him?
He wants attention.
Well, if he wants attention, there's a million ways he could get attention. Why didn't he just walk up and down the main street? Why did he pick this particular event? There was something he wanted to accomplish at this event. And, you know, everybody in the world wants attention. You go to parties, you want to be the center of attention, you want to get on quiz shows, you want to have attention. But this guy wanted a very special kind of attention. What kind? What kind of occasion did he choose? And what kind of attention did he want when he was on it? You think about that, Jonathan, okay? Thank you very much. Now, David, I invited you back, and you're back again, this time on line 9, right? David?
Yeah.
Have you worked in the streaker?
Yes, I have.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, from what I know about the Unabomber, he's good at nothing, including shaving and bathing. But the only thing he was good at is math, and the computer made him obsolete. That's what the streaker hated Hollywood. I guess probably maybe he was a frustrated actor or something, and he picked that to make his venue because that's the only thing he could do. Like last year, the Unabomber, remember when he threatened to blow up the plane?
Yeah.
It was because Oklahoma City. They were talking about another bomber. And the Internal Revenue Service, it has contempt for the achievers, because the higher you make, the more contempt it has for you.
So, in other words, you're saying what? Is it psychological inadequacy is the common denominator?
Basically, against people who they perceive to be as their betters, and they can't do anything about it. You know, they can't actually be that way, so they say, if we can't do it, we'll tear it down.
Well, you got a really good idea there, David. If you were just a little more specific, I would accept it, but I can't take you yet. Thanks for calling. You're going to hear the answer about, it's a nice try, but you'll hear the answer in about 20 minutes. Greg, on line 10, welcome to the Leonard Peikoff Show. What do you say? Don't forget the streaker now, Greg.
Right, okay. Well, the tie-in I got from the first two was Punishing the successful for being successful.
Now you're really getting on the track there. Okay.
And then I think when I heard the third one...
Now, you've never read Ayn Rand's nonfiction.
It's her fiction.
Okay. And what do you do with the streaker?
Well, what came to mind right away is envy. Okay, he saw all these people celebrating their achievement, and maybe he felt envious, and he wanted to disrupt it like that.
So what did he accomplish by disrupting it?
Nothing, really. He made a spectacle of himself, and...
Yeah, but what was he trying to accomplish? Was he trying to punish them in some way? We want the same formula. Was he trying to... What was he trying to do? I can't give it away. What was he trying to accomplish in terms of that event?
Maybe trying to discredit it? Well, I don't know.
Well, Greg, it's a nice try, but I can't yet say you're on the track. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You're really close, but I just need a few more words to push it into focus. Thanks for your call. I want to give you one more example of exactly the same thing, and this is going to be a completely different again. So I know I've got a bunch of people on the line, but listen to this one more example, because this will give you, stretch your minds, and this will give you now the totality of the whole spectacle. And then we just have to see, taking the clues that we've already been given. It's very common for an intelligent girl growing up today in the United States, Canada too, to be told by her mother that she should hide her intelligence. If she wants to be popular, if she wants to, you know, men to like her, if she wants to find a husband, she should hide her intelligence because it'll be a liability in the quest for a man. That is a bromide, a popular thing that mothers tell their daughters. I happen to think that's a really vicious thing to tell your daughter, but that's neither here nor there. I say that that piece of advice rests on the very same thing that the progressive income tax, the Unabomber, and the streaker. All four are four examples on different cases, different instances of exactly the same philosophic attitude. And now that I brought her in, what is in common? Now you got the full picture. On line 11, Doris, welcome to the Leonard Peikoff Show. Did anybody ever tell you that growing up, that you should hide your intelligence in order to be popular?
Well, I wasn't all that intelligent.
Oh. So you didn't have to worry?
No, besides it was World War II. And
things weren't that...
wasn't the point.
Things weren't that bad.
No, but I think that the connection between the bomber and the income tax,
yes,
progressive income tax, would be to debase those at the top, not the ones at the top off, or debase yourself and viewers by running through the on the stage script and also hiding your intelligence. Debase yourself, debase others, and lower those at the top.
So your general thrust is
not to make them even, but to knock them off.
To knock off what?
Those at the top.
Knock off those at the top.
Right. Achievers and the executives and the high earners.
And then how does that bring in the streaker?
Debasement of the viewers, thumbing their nose at them.
Thumbing their nose. Now, that's a great idea. Thumbing the nose. He's thumbing his nose at the viewers. He doesn't want attention. He wants to do something to the viewers.
Them.
So you're right. There's a victim.
Yeah.
There is a victim in each case, the one who pays.
Like mooning.
Right, that's what it is. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Now, how does that apply to the girl who's supposed to hide her intelligence?
She covers her intelligence up as she debases herself.
She debases herself, but then she's her own victim?
Yes.
There's nobody out?
Well, no. Everybody would be a victim that didn't know she was that smart.
Well, Doris, you know, you're so close. If I could give prizes for being close, I would give you a prize. But I have to say, nice try. We're getting closer and closer. Thanks very much for your call.
You're welcome, Leonard. I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you. Jeanette on line 12. Have you got all four of these put together? Jeanette on line 12.
Yes.
What do you say?
Well,
it's
I don't
getting
know.
Pretty complicated now, right?
Yes, it has complicated everything. I just see that these individuals, and they all seem to feel that they have, they presume their right is greater than any others, that they disrespect the rights of the masses, and they disrespect the achievement of others,
They certainly that's a good key there. They disrespect the achievement of others, but different kinds of achievement, right?
Yes.
What sort of achievement can you tell me that the streaker disrespects?
Well, I don't know what he had not achieved, but I know that the awards were there for those who had achieved things.
So he's trying to tear down
the masses,
the awards, and the people who won the awards in the whole country that's watching it.
Yes.
And the bomber obviously wants to tear down. And the income tax is disrespecting or tearing down the... Who?
I didn't hear that.
Who is the bomber, the income tax, disrespecting or tearing down?
Those who achieved again. Those who achieved the most.
Okay, and who is being disrespected in this intelligent girl should hide her intelligence? That's a toughie.
Yeah, I was not told that.
Oh, you didn't
I was
hear
told
that one?
I should try to achieve, so it's hard for me to relate to something like that.
You try to project what would be the psychology of a man that wants a girl to hide her intelligence. Why do you think he would want her to hide her intelligence? That's what these mothers are projecting, and I think it's true. There's a lot of men.
That the only way to achieve is by fitting in with what everybody else wants you to be instead of who you are.
But to answer me directly, why do you think a man would resent an intelligent woman? Why would these girls be told hide your intelligence because men won't like you? What would be the psychology of a man who does not want an intelligent girl?
He doesn't want to feel that she's better than he is.
Right, he feels threatened, right?
Threatened, yes.
He feels threatened. Now, he feels threatened because he thinks intelligence is a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, he thinks it's a good thing.
He thinks it's a good thing, but he doesn't want to see it, right?
Yeah, he's afraid
can't
that
give
he may
it
not
anymore.
Be intelligent enough.
All right, Jeanette, I've given you a fantastic clue now. I got a Gopher Station identification. I got to say, it's a nice try, but you're not quite there, but... I've given a clue and after station identification, we will be back to do more of the tie-in contest. It's 3:01. My name is Leonard Peikoff, and I'm going to give you one more clue to tying these four together. This is a cartoon out of the Orange County Register on Sunday the 14th, and it's all pictures of the Unabomber talking. It's actually a comic strip reprinted from the State Journal Register. The first panel says, I made bombs with electronic components and mailed them. Next panel, post office computers and machines put them on jets. Next panel, radar guided the jets to their destination. Next panel, then the bombs were unloaded, put into trucks, and delivered. Why did I do this? I'm against the use of technology. And, of course, he could have said, you know, I love reading books. And, of course, books depend on the printing press. They depend on logging, the industrialization that's necessary for the paper. He wanted his manifesto printed in massive newspapers across the country. He took buses to get to the towns where he could drop his letters off. This guy used technology. He enjoyed it. He valued it by proving of the fact that he used it. And yet his goal is to annihilate it. Now, if that doesn't give you a clue, a pattern, that's the best I can do. Now we got a whole bunch of callers. Let's see who's going to jump in here. On line 7, Chris, welcome to the Leonard Peikoff Show.
Hello, Dr. Peikoff.
Was that too big a clue?
Probably not.
Well, why did you come up with?
what I came up with this was that mediocrity should be rewarded and excellence should be punished.
More specific than that, Chris. I appreciate your call, but it's more specific.
Thank you.
Don, on line 8, welcome to the Leonard Peikoff Show.
Hello, Dr. Peikoff.
What do you say, Don?
Well, it seems like the achievers are being sabotaged for achieving, and good is being seen as evil.
And now you're really on the track. Good is being seen as evil, and yet, like, for instance, you mean the guy who has to pay the tax is being punished as though he were evil.
Yes.
And yet the people who...
too much money, and that's a bad thing.
That's a bad thing, and yet, on the other hand, does the government want him to earn that money or not?
Well, they probably do, so they can take more from him.
Exactly. If he didn't produce, if there weren't all these productive subjects who made their fortunes, what would happen to the tax collector?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea is, you see a similarity with that in the Unabomber, that they both denounce something or are harm something or work against something, and at the same time, they call it evil, and they rely on it as. what about this the husband that hates his wife's intelligence? Intelligence is good, right?
Absolutely.
He counts on her. He doesn't want to be married to a mental retard, right?
I would hope not.
He values intelligence, right?
Mine does.
But on the other hand, this husband put forward by this wife, by the mother of the girl, says, but don't show your intelligence because you don't want to threaten him.
Mm-hmm.
So he values intelligence, and at the same time, what is his attitude toward her intelligence? Does he admire her and say, oh, it's so wonderful?
Obviously not.
No, he resents the very thing he admires, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He wants it and he doesn't want it. Does that give you a clue?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Don, I can't give you any more clue. I'll have to give you the answer. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
That's a nice try. On line 9, Todd, we're running out of time. Have you got a clue here?
Well, since you threw in the stripper, I'd have to say, philosophically, the connection is they're all nihilists.
Well, if you can explain to me what nihilists is, that would be fine. What is now? Have you read Ayn Rand's nonfiction?
No.
Where did you learn about nihilism?
I think it's a pretty well-known term.
Okay. I'll accept that. Take me through them one at a time and show me how they're all nihilists. Nihilism means someone who's trying to destroy a value.
Yes.
Something that he acknowledges as a value.
Right. So
Go ahead.
The stripper, he intentionally seeks out...
The streaker, yeah.
He intentionally seeks out a glamorous event so he can destroy...
Louder? Oh, don't tell me we're cut off. Todd? Oh, no, you got to phone back, Todd, because you're right on the track. Can we get Todd back? Oh, sorry. I was taking notes here thinking, aha, I'm sorry. Somehow we got you cut off, Todd, but phone back if you can hear my voice. Meanwhile, I got to go to Mark on line 10. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Doctor, but I think in all honesty, I should defer to Todd. I think...
Well, you got to do it because we lost Todd.
Well, I was going to say the same thing. Basically, what these guys are doing is that you used the term several weeks back on another show that you were talking about, like they tacked on industrialists and stuff, where you said it's kind of a malicious of the good, hating the good. I mean, hating the good just for being the good.
Hey, you hit the jackpot there. Now, if you can explain that, you win. Can you explain that?
I could see it in all these examples.
Well, let's take it one at a time. Hating the good or being the good. Now, let's take it one at a time.
Okay.
The progressive income tax.
Well, to me, that it's not really a progressive income tax, and in their mind, it can only work if a man is achieving, which is what they're supposed to be decrying and what they view as bad.
Well, you see, the trick about this particular principle is
yes.
the the person, well, I don't want to tell you, tell them, make sure you've got it.
Okay.
Do they think that production is good or bad, the income taxers?
Oh, boy, from which viewpoint? I think they think production is good if, as long as they can get what they want out of it, not realize that what they want
out of it is to milk it and penalize it and
right,
make it hard to do, right?
And make it impossible to do and not realize that if you keep doing that, basically you're killing the golden goose. You're killing your own means of survival, which makes no sense at all, and you realize it's just an irrational, malicious shot at
the guy is using something, relying on something which he considers good and worth doing, worth having, and at the same time is acting to destroy it.
Right.
Or penalize it.
Exactly.
Now can you take that same formula through the others, the Unabomber?
Well, I think so. In the Unabomber's case, what he's doing, well, your cartoon kind of gave it away. He's decrying, he's decrying technology and all the bad that it has caused, and yet he relied on technology every step of the way.
Every step of the way. So in other words, if he were consistent, he would say, technology is wicked, I have nothing to do with it.
Right.
But his entire life, his hobbies, everything he wanted, even going to this remote place, he wanted to read books.
Right.
But he was counting on technology and using it. Now, if I say arsenic is bad, right, I don't go around swallowing it. I stay away from it.
Right.
This guy says technology is wicked.
Right.
He's out to destroy it, and at the same time, he is using it for all it's worth.
Yeah, in other words,
he's counting on the people who provide it.
Yes.
While denouncing.
In other words, if he was really consistent, he should have been like hitting people with sticks, but that's about as far as he could have gone.
That's right. As soon as he gets to bombs,
right,
he is using the thing that he regards as evil.
As evil.
And now go to the streaker. What's his story?
Well, that's the same. It's like his view
of life. In his case, it's not technology and it's not production.
No, it's not technology.
What is it that he is recognizing as a value and trying to destroy at the same time?
What he's recognizing as a value is what the Academy Awards, and people can probably argue with this, they're, you know, good or bad or what you think of them, it is a show that is designed to honor achievement or goodness, and it's glamorous. It's people
glamour. It's the epitome of glamour.
Right. It's people at their best and
right,
all.
And, exactly.
And what the streaker does is he attempts to reduce it to his view of the world, to insult it and show it that this nothing is so good that he can't debase it very quickly,
and make it appear to be
cheap and tawdry, which it's not. But he would not get his point across if it was not glamorous and it was not beautiful.
Exactly, just like the Unabomber, he is counting on the glamour of the event.
Right.
He is counting on that being a value in order for his destructiveness to work.
Right.
If the Academy Awards were really a sleazy operation, a cowtown thing, and they came out of Omaha, Nebraska, and people came in blue jeans and the sawdust on the floor and the whole bit, it wouldn't mean a thing for him to go through and, drop his pants.
Right.
The whole thing about this is he counts upon, this is a value that people care about.
Right.
This is something important,
right,
and then he's going to slash it down. That's
right.
A true nihilism. That's what Ayn Rand calls hating the good for being the good.
Yeah.
Whether you hate the production, which you're counting on the producers, but you're still going to knock them down,
right,
and penalize them. You're
right,
counting on technology, and then you're using it to destroy itself. You're counting on glamour. You think it's good, and then you want to obliterate it. Now tell me how, I'll give you the prize if you can tell me how it applies to the fourth case.
That's one is probably the most difficult one because this
Well, look at it from the point of view of the potential husband.
Yeah.
What is his attitude toward this girl's intelligence?
Well, obviously, I mean, I guess maybe I'm making an assumption here. If he's marrying her, he probably values her intelligence.
He doesn't want a dolt. No
right,
man wants a dolt or a mental retard.
But at the same time,
he wants her to be bright.
He wants her to be bright, but at the same time, something in that seems to intimidate him to where he doesn't, it's a threat to whatever his view of the world is, so he wants her to, he is trying to diminish the very thing that he's trying to make her make unattractive the very thing that he finds attractive in it, just for the...
Excellent. Okay, Mark, we don't even have to go to further winners because you have won the prize.
Okay, maybe in all fairness, I think you might get the Todd.
Did you get the clue from Todd?
Well, I didn't get the clue, but I think I didn't know what, until he said nihilism, I was thinking, I was searching for that type of thing, you know, the destruction of a value, and I'm fumbling with all these to find the ties, and then as soon as he said nihilism, it's like, that's exactly what it is, and I think, honestly, he would have gotten it
I don't believe in God, but somebody is definitely was against Todd to cut him off right on the throes of winning, so if Todd phones back, there's going to be a special prize. If we can get a hold of Todd,
we will
award him a special prize, the phone company prize.
Okay.
But if you will stay on now, Linda will get your phone number, and you will receive these four books autographed or at least signed by me, and congratulations. How long have you listened to my show?
I've listened as soon as I... heard that you were on the air. I'd come across some stuff that you had written. Gosh, and I don't know. I don't want to. It was like 10 years ago, Ominous Parallels or something like that.
Yeah.
Might be even longer. And
God, I should have put my own fiction in too, because if I, as disqualifying, right?
You know, yeah, perhaps that's. Yeah, well, if you want to, that's still, because I did read that. So.
No, that's okay. I think you worked it out very well, and I want to congratulate you. And give Linda, stay on and give us some place to get in touch with you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on and congratulations. I still have a lot of callers, but we have to take a break for this message and then I will be back. It's 3:17. My name is Leonard Peikoff. And just before we go to callers, I want to put a special plug in for a new sponsor. If you're interested in learning more about objectivism, Ayn Rand's philosophy, you might be interested in attending a seminar called Introduction to Objectivism that is conducted by this outfit, Lyceum International, L-Y-C-E-U-M. They have seminars around the country with good speakers, not me, but good speakers, on Introduction to Ayn Rand's philosophy, and there's going to be one this Saturday, May the 4th, in Los Angeles, this Saturday, on Saturday, May the 4th in Los Angeles. And I think they're taking commercials right now for this seminar on the program. And I appreciate it because sponsors help keep us alive. So I urge you, if you're interested in this type of thing, listen to the commercials or call directly to Lyceum, 1-800-216-9708, and they'll tell you who's lecturing, on what, where, but I definitely recommend it in terms of quality. Lyceum, by the way, was the name that Aristotle gave to his school in the ancient world, so I think there's a tie-in between the name and the company. Now, we lost a lot of callers because the callers have realized that the contest was over, but we have Bernie on line 11. How are you doing, Bernie?
How you doing, Doctor?
Okay, what do you got to say?
Well, what I got to say is, in some ways, the Unabomber was right, but in others, he's wrong. He used all the technology he could get down the line, buses. He probably, his brother wired him the money to take him to go get the bus, and he went to the libraries and used the books that had the books produced by technology.
Right.
But we see the same thing today here in California with this smog deal. You know, the HQMD is the enemy of the people. You know, they pretend to be the...
What's the HQMD?
It's the smog outfit here. Makes all your smog rules and everything.
Oh, yeah?
Well, June 1st, they're going to add a new chemical to everybody's fuel. It's going to cost you about 15 to 20 cents more a gallon for your gas. It's a non-hydrocarbon, so it produces no fire. In fact, you lose 10% of your mileage. But this is their idea of... helping the people out, you know?
So you put them in the same, basically, it's the extreme environmentalist viewpoint.
Right, the tree huggers. They think they're doing something for nature, and what they're doing is just the opposite, because the people are going to burn 10% more gas, we're going to pay 20 cents more a gallon, and you're going to get a lot less mileage out of your car.
Okay, well, thank you, Bernie. Any any anti-environmental comment is always welcome. Thanks for your comment.
Okay.
On line 7, we have Bob. How are you doing, Bob?
Oh, hello, doctor.
Okay, did you get to hear about our contest?
Yeah, I sure did. And the nihilism, actually, that's one of the first words I jotted down.
So why, how come you didn't enter?
Well, I tried. You're too popular.
Well, what do you mean you tried? What happened?
A lot of busy signals.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Ask your screener, probably had a full board all.
There was a lot of people there at the height trying to get in.
That's right. The reason I wanted to comment was one of the a tie-in to the nihilism, if I may, was goes back to your appearance last night.
Oh, you saw me last night?
Oh, of course.
What did you think of it?
I thought that William Shatner ought to keep his mouth shut more.
Oh, he's a big star. He was a very nice guy, didn't you think?
Was he?
I mean, in person he was.
Oh, okay. But he kind of was off the wall a little bit. One of the interesting points I saw in that was, and it kind of ties into nihilism, was when Robert Reich mentioned that companies are making huge profits and soaring salaries for their executives, and it's morally responsible to give it to the workers.
Yeah.
One of the biggest applause lines on that whole show was when you said, why? You don't believe in the sacrifice of the haves and the have-nots.
Oh, you got that line. I didn't even know if that came across or not.
Yeah,
that was my best line, but, you know, you have to insert about 7 words into this total chaos and hope that somebody hears it.
Right. Well, it's kind of a food fight, isn't it?
It really is. I had the experiences like being in a kaleidoscope on a roller coaster and someone saying, what's your view? And you get 3 words out, and then the subject has changed. Everything has changed. You don't even know where you are anymore. You know, so it's a very it's traumatic experience.
Yeah, it's an amazing forum. The other biggest.
It's fun, you know. And these guys are terrific. They can relax and crack jokes. You know, they're not uptight and serious the way I am in a bad way. You know, I think they did a very good job. Although most of the people on that panel seemed to be a lot happier with the format than I was.
The other big applause line was when Reich asked, should there be a minimum wage?
Yeah.
Your answer was, no, why? And that got a huge applause. And that leads me to wonder whether the general feeling in the country is not at all what they're trying to portray as, that it is. That the have should give to the have-nots, and that we should have a minimum wage.
Well, you know, I think that the public is much better than the politicians and much better than the intellectuals. My theory has been for a long time that the public still goes back to the 18th century in their basic attitudes, and the intellectuals are all shaped by the 19th century philosophically, and therefore this is the one case that I know of in history where there's an absolute gap between the general public and the so-called intellectual and political leaders. And the hope of this country is if the public just simply rebels, but the problem is they got to find someone to represent their views. And as soon as somebody goes through the university system, he's so brainwashed that he's no good anymore. That, to me, is the hope and the tragedy of the United States.
It's also very difficult for people to make informed decisions when they have bad information.
Yes.
And that's almost, but there are a few throwaway lines that Reich threw out about the flat tax being ridiculous and Reaganomics not having worked, and they were just out there with no criticism.
Oh, but you know,
they were true on the face of them.
Anybody you know on my side would want to jump on those lines, but the thing is, you can't just jump on every sentence. It's like there's 97 things you disagree with in one sentence. You know, and you've got 12 seconds to speak. You just have to pick your shot, blurt it out, and then you get swept away in the current.
Right.
Anyway, thanks for watching. I appreciate it. I want to conclude today by just asking you to think for a minute about some of mankind's oldest legends. You will see the extent to which this idea of a hatred of the good, being punished for ambition, being punished for achievement, runs throughout. It's not just a uniquely American or modern attitude. For instance, in the Bible, the men of Babel, why were they punished? Because they attempted to build a tower to the sky. You know the myth of Phaethon? He attempted to drive the chariot of the sun, And, of course, he perished. What about Icarus? He attempted to fly. He was an early version of the Wright brothers. Why was Arachne transformed into a spider? Because she challenged a goddess to a competition in the art of weaving and won it. What about Prometheus? He brought down the fire of the gods, and so he's going to be plucked by vultures forever. What about Adam? What was his sin? He ate from the tree of knowledge. Throughout the oldest legends of all the different sources is the same common idea. Don't aspire. Don't achieve. Don't reach. Don't try. Remain small. Don't have ambition. All of that is a torrent of resentment against the good by people who count on the good. If everybody followed the advice of these legends and we all just huddled on the ground and did nothing and prayed, we would all starve, or our life expectancy would be 15. So that all these legends are counting on the people who disobey them. That's why we call it hatred of the good for being the good. They, by their own definition, recognize that they depend upon ambition. They depend upon strength. They depend upon somebody trying to fly, trying to be best at weaving, trying to acquire knowledge. All of this is the good by the very definition of the people who want to punish them for it. That's why Ayn Rand calls it nihilism. Hatred of the good for being the good. If it's just that you don't want ambition and you're content to live on your belly and starve, there's no inconsistency in that. But to feed off of the people who achieve and denounce them while you're feeding off them, that is the ultimate sin. That was what our tie-in contest was revealing today. Goodbye to all of you. Thanks for listening and for calling in. I'll talk to you again 2:30 p.m. And until then, check your premises.
For additional information about other available programs, please contact Second Renaissance at 1-800-729-6149 or at www.ayanrandbookstore.com. All material in this program is protected by copyright and may not be reproduced in any form or manner, nor played before an audience, without the express written permission of the producer, Second Renaissance Incorporated.